A U.S. appeals court blocked a San Francisco ordinance that was passed back in 2015 that would have required soft drink warning labels on soft drinks. The warning label would have read, "Warning," in all caps. Drinking beverages with added sugars contributes to obesity, diabetes, and tooth decay. This is a message from the city and county of San Francisco. The notice had to be set apart and take up 20% of any advertisements for non-alcoholic beverages that contained added sweeteners and more than 25 calories per 12 ounces, which included sodas and sports drinks. The rule was set to go into effect in the summer of 2016, but a district court judge halted its implementation in response to a court challenge from the American Beverage Association. This was the three-judge panel of the 9th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals. Isn't that one of the most liberal courts in the country? Mm-hmm. They found the ordinance stifles commercial speech and unfairly targets soda over other potentially unhealthy food and drinks. And then the other item is something that the California legislature has passed, but the governor, at least the last I saw, was undecided as to whether or not he was going to sign it, and we'll tell you why he's undecided. They passed a law that said that anybody running for the White House had to release at least 5 years of their tax returns, and if they didn't do that, they weren't going to get on the ballot in California.
Hmm.
So we have Jim Roop from Westwood One News, who's out in Los Angeles, to comment and bring us up to date on these two stories. Good afternoon, Jim.
And a very good afternoon to you. Where do you want to start?
Let's start with the beverages thing. So the Ninth Circuit, as I said, this is a very liberal court, and a lot of cities like San Francisco, Berkeley, across the country, going after sodas, adding extra taxes, and now warning labels. But the court said this is discriminatory because what about all those other products that have equal or greater amounts of sugar that aren't sodas? Makes
right,
sense to me.
Yeah, including putting sugar in your coffee. So what does that do to the label on coffee now? Things like that. So, and also, the Ninth Circuit Court said, in citing the Food and Drug Administration and their guidance on sugar, says that the Food and Drug Administration, the FDA, says that added sugars can be part of a healthy diet when not consumed in excess. So that's where the phrase "not purely factual" comes in during the at the Ninth Circuit Court's ruling. So when they say, well, you know, we really, this is, I think it's common sense that we know if we drink too many sodas and we could rot our teeth, we could get fat, and we could wind up with type 2 diabetes. I think common sense tells us that. But also, it's not purely factual that that will happen in every single case. And the FDA has said that added sugars can be part of a healthy diet if not consumed in excess. So that's kind of where the Ninth Circuit Court, which, as you correctly say, is quite a liberal appeals court, that's where they kind of come to the center a little bit, especially on this issue.
Yeah, I mean, look at spaghetti sauce. I mean, there's mountains of products that have sugar in it, and then you're right, and you see more of the sodas at least offering a real sugar alternative, which I think is actually healthier than some of this stuff like fructose corn syrup, high fructose corn syrup that they put in as a sweetener for some of this stuff, or a substitute for sugar.
Yeah, many doctors will tell you if you're going to have a soda, man, don't drink the sodas that claim to be diet or low calorie because of the substitutes that are in there. You're better off having refined cane sugar than some of the chemicals that are in there. So there's that argument there, too.
The American Beverage Association said the decision affirms our position that the San Francisco warning mandate not only violates the constitutional right to free speech, but is deceptive and misleading. Did they rule against this on a free speech argument, or it was more that they thought it was deceptive and you're targeting one kind of product as opposed, which I think they are, and they're doing this for money. They've even given up on some of the health arguments on this thing in terms of the taxes that they've added. But did they rule on this against this for free speech reasons, or again, it was too targeted toward beverages when there are many, many other products that also have sugar, sometimes in greater amounts?
It was more the protection of commercial speech. I know a lot of people, you know, we don't really realize that those are things in the advertising world and the marketing and in the manufacturing world that there's something called commercial speech. And this, according to the Ninth Circuit Court, unduly burdened and even chilled the protected commercial speech in that. So free speech to a degree, but really directed more toward commercial speech.
Does this go further to the Supreme Court, do you think? Where does this go from here? Is this issue dead as far as San Francisco trying to put warning labels on, and I guess any other community that might have been thinking about doing the same thing, putting warning labels on soft drinks?
The city of San Francisco, as do many city leaders in California, think they know better than anybody else. So they will take this all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court, no doubt, because they were successful at first in blocking any attempt to block the law. All of a sudden, the Ninth Circuit Court pipes up and says, wait a minute, until we resolve this, because there's a lawsuit that was filed from the beverage industry against the law, against the city of San Francisco and this law. So until that's resolved, there's a block on this ordinance. Now, if the soda industry prevails in the lawsuit, then I can almost guarantee you that the city of San Francisco will go all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court on this issue that really is a common sense issue, number one. Number two, just because it's unhealthy doesn't mean there needs to be a law against it.
No.
Number three is really kind of an example of government overreach.
Yeah, I agree. Then there's this other issue where the California State Assembly passed a bill called the Presidential Tax Transparency and Accountability Act. Passed the state assembly on a 42-18 vote. Now goes to the, and I guess it's gone to the state senate, right? Has it yet?
It passed out of the senate. Now it's in the hands of Governor Brown.
Yeah, so, and it would require any presidential candidate who wants to be on the ballot in California, you have to release at least 5 years of your tax returns. But the way I understand it, Jim, the governor, he's not sure if he's going to sign it or not. Maybe because during the last gubernatorial campaign, Governor Jerry Brown didn't release his taxes.
That's absolutely right. But he claims he didn't do it because his opponents didn't do it.
That's principle. That's standing on principle there.
Jerry Brown is a Democrat, true and true. But he has, in his advanced age, he's gained a lot of wisdom. And in fact, you know, the sanctuary state law in the state of California, where it would make the entire state a sanctuary state, Jerry Brown didn't like it. He likes the idea of not deporting everybody, but he says, wait a minute, we got to let local law enforcement work with ICE. We have to let ICE work in the jails. There has to be some protection of public safety. So he negotiated new terms in that law that kind of moved him to the center. And also he vetoed a bill recently that would limit the number of guns people in California can buy. So Jerry Brown can come to the center. He's not always so far to the left. It is my opinion he will not sign this particular this bill into law because, number one, he exercised his freedom not to release taxes, as you so correctly indicated, but also I don't think he wants to be the first state to do something like this, not under his watch. I don't think he wants to start this ball rolling across the rest of the country just because the Democrats in California don't like Donald Trump. I think he's going to be smart with this one. If he signs it, I would be very, very surprised.
Really? Okay. And I didn't realize that about the sanctuary state law. Now, New York, there was a state lawmaker there that earlier this year introduced a similar bill that would force the state to publicly post the state tax returns of anybody elected in a statewide election to federal or state office. But this does seem targeted toward Donald Trump. And it would seem to me, Jim, I don't know, this could be challenged in court. Can you keep somebody off of a, I guess maybe as a state you could, because most of the elections at least are run on a state-by-state basis. But I would think you'd still get a court challenge by a candidate if for some reason they didn't want to release their tax returns or didn't want to do 5 years of their tax returns, and a state said, well, sorry, you're not going to be on the ballot.
That's a great question. In fact, that's one of the things Jerry Brown said he's going to do. He has to take a look at the legality on the federal side of things to see if the state can actually do that. Can you keep a presidential candidate off the ballot? Maybe there are things you can do with a state race or even a local city race or a county race, but as far as the feds go, this may not be something that a state can arbitrarily decide to do, not put somebody on the ballot, because that infringes the voting rights of the populace.
Mm-hmm.
So he has to take a look at that, along with whatever he thinks would be fair in general, and whether he wants to be the first governor to actually sign such a bill.
Well, I mean, in the primary might be one thing, but in a general election, the Republican nominee could just say, screw it. I'm not going to win your electoral votes anyway. So,
yeah.
okay. So then I don't have to pay whatever fees I got to pay to get on California's ballot, because I'm not going to win those electoral votes.
Can you imagine if that were true, and any candidate running in the state of California would just say, screw it, I'm not going to win your electoral votes anyway. So I think that's the T-shirt. My friend, that's the T-shirt.
That's it.
Now. Every candidate running in the state of California.
I'm going to run out and start doing the design when I get off the air here. You know, and as far as electoral politics, presidential electoral politics in California, a real interesting story is whether or not they're actually going to move their primary up to be, what, fourth or fifth in line. They'd be moving it to March, which especially on the Democratic side would have major implications in the nominating battle. If you move California from early June to March with their primary, which it looks like they're about to do.
Yeah, but California has felt it has been slighted for such a long time. This is the state that every candidate comes to. We're like an ATM. You come to this state, you raise money, and then you go away. And yet California, by the time it gets to where anything counts, and California's primary happens, it doesn't matter how California votes, because usually the candidates are already in place by then, even long before the conventions happen. But I don't know that that's a hard and fast rule, because things are in so much in flux with where the state is going to put its primary, where the local elections are going to put their, because everybody's trying to consolidate. Instead of having midterm elections and then special elections in June and all this stuff, everybody's trying to consolidate. So to try and get all 58 counties in California to come up with the same kind of plan, be on the same page, it's almost impossible. So it feels like California is definitely moving in that direction to move the primary up. It's already been through the legislature. Most of the state lawmakers agree. However, there's all these other variables within the state that might prevent that from happening, because if it did, it would screw everything else up. So there's still a lot of things up in the air when it comes to where California's primary is going to wind up being.
Well, we'll watch it. Jim Roop in Los Angeles. Jim, thanks.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Always good to talk to you.